goodsuccess.com.
Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your presence again. Thank you because no one would remain the same again. Thank you because of the word you sent to us last week. Thank you because you are ready to visit us again today. Be magnified, O God, in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask that everyone will surely have a testimony today. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise God. The topic remains, celebrate your wins, celebrate good success. Wins refer to achievements, victories, when we have done something great. That's what the wins talk about. It talks about achievements, it talks about victories, it talks about all the good things that God is doing for you and I. Last week we understood the importance of finishing in phases. That means if you want to do something great in life, we understand that we can as well finish greatly. That means whatever you and I want to do, if you want to climb Mount Everest, for example, you only have to start from the bottom, not from the top. Nobody climbs a mountain from the top. You start from the bottom. And trees don't grow from the top, they grow from the bottom. That means if you have a big project or a big vision, all we need to do is know that there's a place to start. And if we will decide to take one step after the other, and we keep following God's instructions, there is only one end, which is the victory we are looking at, our destination. We will surely get there if we decide to take it step by step. The reason why many people fail is because they want to have their victory from the first day. They want to get to their destination from the first day. But as we know, every journey includes several steps. Even if you are driving, you are flying, there are still minutes, there are still seconds, there are still minutes involved, hours involved for you to get to that destination. God can give you speed using the fast jet, but you are still going to spend some minutes. After you get to your destination, what do you do? Celebrate. God is not angry with celebrations. Let's read some scriptures. Romans chapter 14, 5 to 6 says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat and give God thanks. He's talking about celebrations here. He's talking about festivals in the Bible especially. He's saying the person who celebrates is celebrating to the Lord, that's to Jesus. And he who eats, maybe he decides to fast, is also still doing it to the Lord, for he give God thanks. If the purpose of anything we are doing is to give God thanks, and we are doing it in righteousness, not drinking ourselves to stupor, but we are doing it in righteousness, he says it is still giving God thanks. Let's read another scripture, Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. No day is different from another except what you do with that day. We should understand that. You can decide to make a day wonderful, and you can decide to make a day not wonderful. It all depends on you and I. You can also make every day special. I pray that the grace to make every day special for us may be released to us in Jesus' name. We can decide to magnify our losses or choose to magnify the victories that God gives us per day. It is entirely your choice and my choice. You know, what we do when we talk about the things the devil has done is to magnify the devil's victories. That's our losses. But if we decide to see everything that God has done for us, and that is what we are magnifying, we are actually celebrating our wins. Now, somebody will say, what am I to celebrate each day? Maybe after this analogy to help you and I. Being alive looks normal until you see the dead. Until you see someone who is dead, who lies down on the bed the same way you lie down on the bed. But the difference is that he doesn't have a breath again. He cannot move his hands, he cannot move his legs, he cannot hear anybody, he cannot be woken up, not even by an alarm clock. Put the loudest alarm in the world beside him, he doesn't hear anything. He's just dead. Now, that person lies down the same way you lie down, but he cannot move, he has no more breath. So you know that lying down is not the same. It is when you have breath in you that makes your lying down, your sleeping, sleep. The moment the breath is gone, then the person is no longer sleeping. So, what are you to celebrate? To celebrate that you are alive. Being healthy looks like no big deal to anyone until you see how much people pay to stay alive and to stay healthy. If someone pays for oxygen in the hospital, you'll be shocked at how much it takes for the hospital to give someone oxygen, the one that God gives us free of charge. It takes a lot and a big deal for some people to take it in hospital. So we are beginning to see why we can celebrate and why we may decide to celebrate. Now, somebody will say, but all the things I'm receiving, they are small things. They are small gifts. Others are building houses. It's only a shoe I've been able to buy. It is not the size of the good deed that qualifies it for gratitude. It is not the size of what God has done for you, or what somebody has done for you, or what you see God doing for you every day that qualifies you for being grateful. No, it is the size of your heart that should qualify the gift for you being grateful for it. Whether you see God's hand, his finger, or his outstretched arm, it is still God you have seen. For example, if I touch you with my finger, you see my finger that touched you, I am the one that touched you. I am the one controlling my finger. So if you have seen the finger of God in your life, it is God you have seen, because the finger of God is God himself touching you. So if you thank him for the finger you have seen, if you celebrate him for the finger you have seen, then you will see his whole arm. He will show himself fully to you. God always tests us with little things. If we fail in the little things, then we can't get the big things. So when you see the finger of God, you better start celebrating God. Don't even talk about the finger. Talk about God himself. Because for him to touch you with his finger, it means that he is there with you. He's alive with you. He's close to you. That's what it means. And even when you see God touching other people around you, it means also, like we said, last week or previously, it means God is in your neighborhood. If God is touching your neighbor, is visiting your neighbor, is doing great things in the life of your neighbor, it means that God is in your neighborhood, is ready to visit you, is around you. It means he's protecting you. For example, let's say the police came to check somebody in the house next to you. And in your own house, something's happening. I'm not talking about Nigerian police. I'm talking about police, that the people that are doing their work. Because the police is around in that vicinity, whatever happens in that place can be taken care of quickly and fast. The same way with God. If you see God touching other people, doing great things in the life of other people, it means the angels of God are around. It means God is around. And that calls for celebration. When you see other people being promoted, doing great things, you better celebrate them, because it means God is very close to you to do your own great thing. Every little win is proof that God has not forgotten you. If you have seen his finger, then you have seen God, because his fingers do not exist without him. It is just a teaser. You know, I went for an event not long ago, and by the time they brought the food, I'm like, what kind of food is this? Let me describe the food. They cut tomatoes, I think one slice or two slices. They now put small cheese on it, and they put it in small plates and give it to everyone. And all of us were looking at each other, that, excuse me, what kind of food is this? When we are expecting food, it was night, so we are expecting food, but we didn't know it was the teaser. It was just to prepare our tummy. We tried, we tasted it, those of us that wanted to taste, some people don't even want to go near it. Then they brought another meal. Then they brought another meal. Meaning that when you see God bringing what looks like small blessings to you, it is because there are other things coming. He has just tested you with a little ration. It is called a teaser. He's testing you. How will you react? How will you appreciate this one that I've given? Because the same chef, the same set of people that brought the small food for us, I believe the same set of people that brought the other one, they also brought the third one. And there were still other things around you could get. The same day I got tea. The same day I got other food. The same day I got another thing. The same night, the same set of people. So if God has shown you a little thing, it is because he wants to do more and more and more. What does it mean for us to celebrate? According to Google, celebration means to acknowledge a significant or happy day or event with a social gathering or enjoyable activity. To acknowledge, to mark it. When you mark your birthday, when you mark your wedding anniversary, when you mark something great that God has done for you, it is celebration. You are acknowledging that that thing actually happened. You are remembering it. And you are being grateful for all those that made it happen, but especially for God that made it happen. A significant or happy day or event, when you acknowledge it, it means to celebrate. And you may also have to do it with people, with gathering, or with an enjoyable activity. When you take your bottle of Coke and you are sipping it, you are reminding yourself of what God has done. God loves celebrations. We must first understand that. You know, when we were growing up in the faith, it was almost like God doesn't want us to celebrate anything. You have to just be fasting 24 hours, 24/7. 7 days a week, God wants to be fasting always. But from these scriptures that we read today, we know that even Jesus himself endorsed celebration. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. But the same Jesus went to a wedding event where they were eating and drinking and rejoicing and dancing. That means God is not against celebrations. In fact, we all know that God does not change. If you look at Genesis, beginning from Genesis, God himself started celebrating when he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The whole earth was in disarray. It was void. It was scattered. But God said, "Let everything be in order." And everything started being in order. And after God saw, he said, "Oh," he looked at the light and he said, "It was good." He acknowledged that something good had happened. We could see that God is a God who acknowledges good things. He always remembers. He always wants us to remember even all the good things he has done. And that is why after he did everything, can see God, after every event, remember last week we said, finish in phases, finish in steps, one step after the other. After God took the first step, he separated the light from the darkness. He said, "Wow, it is good." After that, he made the water separate itself. He made humans, he made animals. But after each day, what did God do? He looked at what he did and he said, "It is good. It is good. It is good." That is how you and I must always look at every step of the way. As God is taking us up the ladder of good success, as God is doing great things in your life, in my life, he wants you and I to celebrate, to look at each thing and say, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now you bought a new shoe. You didn't have a new shoe before, but you bought a new one." You say, "Wow, I bought a new shoe. I am better than I was yesterday, and I'm better than yesterday." Maybe you got a new job and you didn't have one before. The job may not look like what you want, but you're like, "Oh, wow, at least I can feed myself." Even if it's only feeding, if it's only enough to feed you once a day, you're like, "Wow, Father, thank you. It is better than before. You are the one that brought this. I have seen your finger. I know it is because you are with me. Father, I thank you." You are celebrating. You are rejoicing. I mean, physical attitude of dancing, of rejoicing, of praising God. That is it. What made David endear to God? Because David was always celebrating. He said, 7 times a day I praise you. Imagine if you praise God for 3 times, for 4 times, for 7 times. The Bible says God indwells the praises of his people. That means God was always with him. God was always with him. That is why he never lost a single battle. He never lost one. He was always winning. Why? He was always celebrating God. And as he was celebrating God, God never left his side. God was just with him. So if you and I learn to celebrate the acts of God, we see God every day, every minute, every second. That is it. God loves celebrations. We see that in the Old Testament. Beginning from the book of Genesis, like we said, God was celebrating everything he did. He celebrated his handiwork. The children of Israel were also told to mark several events, beginning with the Sabbath, the Sunday that we call Sunday now. God, after the 6 days of work, rested on the seventh day. And what does that rest symbolize? He was resting. He was looking at what he did. And he said, "We must celebrate it. We must mark it." Every time you see a Sunday, it is a day of celebration. And that is why I don't think there's a church that they don't have praise and worship in every Sunday service, because it is supposed to be a celebration day for the acts of God for the past 6 days. For the past 6 days, God is a God of order. After the end of each day, you have to pray and praise him. After the end of each week, you have to praise and praise him. After the end of each month, you have to praise and praise him. after the end of each year, you have to praise and praise Him. And remember, we are at the end of the year. Christmas is here. We are praising God today for the gift of Jesus Christ to the world. We are celebrating. That is why it is important to always mark this day and celebrate with our family. In the New Testament, we see Jesus joining them to celebrate a wedding. Jesus tells us how angels celebrate repentance for just one person. He said, when one person repents and is saved, he said, the angels in heaven rejoice. Like some people think, they think, oh, heaven is boring. Heaven is boring. No, I can tell you clearly today that heaven is not boring at all. Why? Because for everybody who gets saved, the angels are rejoicing. That means, do you know how many people get saved by the minute, by the day? That means there is no day without rejoicing in heaven. As long as one person is saved, there is rejoicing. That means in your life, in my life, you must always have reasons to rejoice. You collect your salary. Make sure you and your family, you dance, you rejoice. Because God has done it. It just shows that God has not forgotten you. The same way you are being given a salary, maybe it's small. Some people are still losing their job, even their small job. So there is no reason for you and I to complain. We must always rejoice. Even in Revelation, some people are being thrown into hell. Guess what? There is a marriage feast of the Lamb. I was reading something today about how they celebrated marriage in Israel in those days. Now, when you say marriage, it's not like all the sharp ones we did. My marriage, I think it finished probably before 2 p.m. or by 2 p.m. It's everything finished. And before we knew, we did engagement, we did everything. Everything finished quickly. There was no wasting of time. I have seen people that even did faster than us. So, it is not that kind of marriage they were doing in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they will first do what they call almost like engagement. What Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus, did. He said it was espoused. Mary was espoused to him. That's like, after that one, it's more like engagement. Every family has agreed that they are going to marry. And maybe like after 1 year after that, then they will now marry. What they call the sealing of the marriage. Then after that one, they will now celebrate for like 7 days. Feasting, dancing, rejoicing, party for 7 days. That is what real feasting is about in the Old Testament. So the Bible talks about the marriage feast of the Lamb. When we are getting married to Jesus, that means heaven will be full of rejoicing, celebration. God loves celebration. That is the purpose of all these things we are saying. So, in your life, in my life, don't ever let celebration cease. Always find a reason to rejoice. And when we say celebration, do you have to call everybody? Do you have to do a big party? Of course, not always. But there are major events in our lives that we must celebrate. Even if it's within your own family, your immediate family. If you are not married yet, your friends, let them know that something has happened to you. Let them remember, my birthday. Today is my birthday. If it's one person you can entertain, entertain the person. If you don't even have money to entertain anybody, sit down. Praise God with the person. Just make sure you celebrate. As you are celebrating, God will be visiting you. God will be increasing you because He remembers and He knows that you are acknowledging Him for everything that He has done. Even at the point of repentance in Nehemiah 8:10, it says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." What brought it up? The people were crying because they realized all their mistakes. They've missed God in so many ways. They've sinned in so many ways. And the priest was reading the Bible to them. They've not even been reading the Bible. And as they realized that they were crying, there was a great repentance. Guess what the priest told them? He said, "Now, all of you, rejoice. Go and take food. Go and eat." That's at the point of repentance. What about when God has done great things? That means people were repenting. They were supposed to be crying and fasting. He said, "No, enough. Now, go and eat. Eat the fat. Take the drink. Begin to enjoy yourself. Because God has forgiven you." So if we can rejoice because God has forgiven us, how much more when God has done great things in your life? When should I celebrate? We should celebrate at the beginning of every new thing in your life, in my life. If God has started a new thing, the beginning in Genesis was not the end. Everything was not finished yet, but each day God was celebrating. Maybe you started a new business. At the beginning of that business, celebrate because you started something new. If you never start it, it can never become big. So for even starting it, celebrate. You had a child, celebrate. You had a marriage, celebrate. You had a new job, celebrate. You saw a new day, celebrate. A new night, celebrate. That means if you do all these things, celebration will never cease. If your eyes go to the clock and you see that, wow, it is 12 p.m., That's afternoon. Celebrate. Just say, Father, I thank you. Wow, I'm still alive. Thank you. If you keep doing that, the spirit around you will change and you keep attracting good things, the good things of God. Why? Because God will always be with you. You see God revealing great things to you, telling you about the future, telling you about new things, and the devil will begin to find his distance away from you. Why? Because God is dwelling with you. The Bible says God dwells the praises of his people. When should I celebrate? Immediately after an accomplishment, just like God. He was not just celebrating the beginning. He even took the 7 day to see what he has done. He was rejoicing after each day, after each accomplishment. When you see something good in your life, in my life, what should we do? Celebrate. Thank God. Praise him. Praises is not done silently. It must be done intentionally. Your body is involved when you are praising God. And that is how to celebrate. There is no celebration without your body, without your soul. Don't just sit down and say, oh, thank God, you are saying it to you. No, you just voice it out. God must hear. People must know that you are thanking God. When should we celebrate? A special victory or deliverance. You almost had an accident, but you didn't have it. Celebrate. Even if you had an accident and you are still alive, celebrate. Whatever it is, there is always a place for us to thank God. Special victory, special deliverance. God delivered you from evil. Thank him. When should we celebrate? Anniversary or special events. Every time you had a wedding anniversary, your birthday, or you gave birth to a child, I think even the parents should be the ones celebrating the birthdays more for their children than the children. Why? Because they are the ones who knew exactly what happened for 9 months and that day of delivery. Celebrate. When should we celebrate? Even inside challenges, we should still worship God and praise him. In 2 Chronicles 20:20, Jehoshaphat and the priest, they were celebrating God when they already had the death sentence. See, all nations that came against them, and they were small. But God said, if you can celebrate me in this challenge, I will take over. So if you and I celebrate in a challenge, you celebrate God, the act of God, all the things he has done in time past, his mercy that endures forever. If there's nothing to celebrate, there is always one thing to celebrate, the mercy of God. The mercy of God. Maybe we still do it one day, the law of mercy. That thing is strong. He said his mercy endures forever. Because the mercy of God endures forever, he destroyed their enemies. If we acknowledge the mercy of God, he said by his mercies we are not consumed. Do you know how many enemies come against us every day? But by his mercies we are not consumed. How should we celebrate? With joy and rejoicing. Jumping up, praising God. See how David was praising God. He was jumping up to the point he was mocked. If you have never been mocked for praising God, maybe you have not praised him. But until people look at you and like, what's wrong with this guy? That's how we praise God. You know, back then in my former local church, when we are praising God, I'm always jumping up like a baby. I'll jump up, I'll praise God. And as I was jumping up, God kept modeling my life. He kept changing it from step to another. Don't ever be a big boy or a big girl for God. Let us never get to that level. May we never get to that level. In the presence of God, let us always be babies, because it is only babies that see God. He said the humble will see God. When it comes to praising God, forget everybody. Praise him. As you praise him, you see him changing your levels from one point to another. How do we celebrate? With feasting and partying, but of course in righteousness. You are not going to be drinking beer and alcohol, but you'll be praising God, rejoicing, with partying, with feasting. What kind of party? Party of praising God. How do we celebrate? With friends and families. When you celebrate God, they know that God has done something for you. And because of you, people will serve God. Because they have seen what God has done. But if you keep putting all the things that God has done under your pillow, just like you say, that if your yam is big, you should eat it under your pillow in Yoruba. But if it is really big, you cannot really hide it. When God has done great things that cannot be hidden, make sure people know that it is God that has done it. How do you celebrate? It mentioned by joy and rejoicing, with feasting, with dancing, with partying in righteousness, of course. Then with family and friends. How do we rejoice? How do we celebrate? By taking photographs or setting landmarks. It is very important for us to always take photographs or certain landmarks that will make us remember all the things that God has done. Why? Because we surely do forget. It is easy to forget all the things that God has done. But when you take your picture, in fact, if you want to make yourself rejoice today and see reasons to thank God, go and look at your picture 20 years ago. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, you see how much God has done for you. You see who you used to be. Maybe you were a sinner and you are saved. Maybe you used to do wrong things and now you've seen the light. And maybe you are not married, you are now married. Maybe whatever you were then, I'm sure God has done one thing or the other in your life. Take pictures, save them. Now it's even easier. Save them in the cloud. And you see the cloud reminding you, 1 year ago, see how you looked. 2 years ago, see exactly what happened that day. Then you see reasons to rejoice and praise God. And lastly today, before we leave, talking about Christmas, we saw how Jesus was born. Everything was filled with celebration. They said the angels came down, they rejoiced. But guess what? The person they were rejoicing about, that they were dancing about, he was born not in the king's palace. If he was born in the palace, it would have been good. He was born in a manger, among sheep and goats. But did that reduce his destiny? No. Did that make him less divine? No. Did that make him less of God? No. He was put down. In fact, he was coming from high glory and was dropped in the lowest of grass. If he was born in the grass, it would have been good. He was born among sheep bleating, smelling, their feces smelling everywhere around. But he was born in that place. But guess what? God never left himself without a witness. As he was born in that local place, in that hidden place, God sent wise people from the east and they came to give him gifts. I pray for you, being today Christmas, that you may look hidden, you may look far away, you may look like nobody cares about you. I decree in the name of Jesus that God will send your gift to you, that will mark this day for you. Maybe the gift of new ideas, maybe the gift of a new business, of a new career, of a new job, of a new wife, whatever it is that you have been desiring. It may look like nobody sees you because nobody was supposed to see Jesus in that manger. But God already prepared some people to send his gifts to prove again that God is still with him. No matter what you are going through, God never leaves himself without a witness. He always sends something to show you that he's indeed with you and I. And let's remember that no matter where you are today, if Jesus was born in a manger and that did not affect his destiny, you too, wherever you may be, wherever you are, God will surely remember you. He has not forgotten actually, but he will begin to prove himself to you as you begin to rejoice and celebrate and praise him. He will keep proving himself to you and I. You may not know where you are, so to say in quotes. People may not know where you are, so to say in quotes. If you and I will just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, keep celebrating God, we will see that we will keep going from glory to glory. Remember last week, it may look like it's slow, but it is sure. If it is God taking you through a step, even if it is slow, let's just remain calm and stay there. Because God will surely take us to that destination. And it will be fast. It may look slow, but it will be fast. That is how God works. Because all the wasting of time of years past, God can finish it in 1 second. If he could take Joseph away from the dungeon and make him a prime minister in the same day, there is nothing God cannot do. If God has done it for any one of us here today, we know where we used to be. We know how God has changed our lives. I'm praying that for everyone listening live now and for those that will listen to the recording, God will indeed prove himself to you the same way that the same Jesus that was born in a manger ended up being in glory in heaven, ended up being the one all of us are worshiping now. When he was born in the manger, almost nobody knew him except the shepherds that were told. But now, billions of people are celebrating Jesus today, whether they like him or not. I went out today, almost all the shops are closed. Why? Because Jesus was born. They may think they don't acknowledge him, but the Bible says, a time is coming, all the knees will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Now we are told to do it by choice. Then everybody will have no choice than to bow to him. And I pray for you and I today, by even joining this today, by not saying it is Christmas, I want to enjoy myself. Today I didn't want to do this episode, but God said we should do it. Now because you have joined, I decree that the blessings that follow obedience will also follow you in the name of Jesus. By this time next year, you will share your testimony. By this time next year, you will look back and you'll be 1,000 times more than you used to be in Jesus' name. And so shall it be in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Merry Christmas to every one of us. And I pray that next year we surely rejoice together. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Do we have any contribution or comments? I think we should at least say Merry Christmas to each other. Yeah, Brotunde, good to hear your voice.
I'm blessed.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, whenever I join or whenever I hear from you, in one way or the other, you always open my eyes and you always make me stay calm.
Hallelujah.
My God is working.
Yes, sir.
So I really appreciate it, sir.
No, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let's thank God for the word again tonight. Father, we thank you for sending us your word of truth, your word of life. Be exalted in Jesus' name. Thank you, Almighty God. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Merry Christmas to everyone. And bye. Yeah, see you next week.
Bye.
Yeah.
The good success.com.